Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It is Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mark Spears, our great ESPN NBA writer, going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline in about 10 minutes here. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales, who you guys normally see in here over at Sports Nation on ESPN Plus. Breaking down everything today, it's obviously been a big day of reaction to Game 1 of the NBA Finals, Trev. And I don't know about you, just before we looked at anything that happened strategically in the game, before we instinctively start blaming Mike Budenholzer, because that's the thing that we're supposed to do after a Milwaukee Bucks game. It's sort of required by law at this point. I just like feel like we had to take a second to stop and bask in the glow of what the hell Giannis Antetokounmpo went out there and did last night. Because I don't know about you, I was heading into that game and I was like, all right, this kind of feels like when we got, you know, James Harden back, game five of the Bucks-Nets series. He's coming off that hamstring, same timeline, goes from doubtful in the morning to playing in the evening. He ended up camped out behind the three-point line doing nothing. Like, he should not have been out there on the court in that game. And I thought, all right, Giannis is out there to be a monster athlete, to bully people, to fly coast to coast and do all this stuff. Like, if he's not at 100%, it's a lot less effective than even that version of James Harden. It's harder to be wrong about a human thing than I was about that sentiment, Trev.
It is. It is. But in fairness to you, who among us wouldn't look at that injury to that player and not assume that, hey, it's going to take a little while for him to get his groove right back? And that is a safe assumption with a hyperextension of a knee. I wonder if it boils down to a mentality and approach to how each of those individuals play the game, those two being James Harden and Giannis Antetokounmpo, where James Harden, a lot of his game is built on preservation of the body, right? Like allowing contact to come near him, but almost embellishing in some cases and making sure that he's getting to the foul line and getting easier buckets that don't require a lot of contact at all by any stretch of the imagination. Giannis is full go, all gas, no brakes, 100% of the time. And I imagine that's how he took on his rehab. I imagine that's how he just went into the game. He was like, if I am going to mess this up again, if I'm going to bleep this up, I'm going to bleep it up at full speed. And that came to fruition right out the gate. As we talked about earlier, down on the baseline, quick move, goes right by the guy, puts it home, and then gets a chase down block that we immediately compared to LeBron James when he was down 3-1. It was just that kind of night where he was going to go out there and show what he could.
It really is amazing. And you're right. We all get preached if you're going to make a mistake, make it 100 miles an hour. We all think that, yeah, injury is just as simple as coming back, rehabbing, getting the swelling down. I mean, Giannis was saying that after the initial injury, he's like, my knee was like two times the size it normally is. Yeah. I had to get an MRI or an X-ray. He didn't even know his, like, he's just walking through this, like, tell me what I need to do, and I am going to do it. And so as we looked and watched Giannis do this for the Milwaukee Bucks, it now begs the question, because they lost game one. The closest they got after the first few minutes was cutting it to like seven in the fourth quarter of this game. So, Trev, any part of Giannis coming back here, what he was able to do, like you mentioned, defensively in addition to offensively, being able to go out and assert himself in certain spots here, does any part of that knock you off of Suns in six, which I believe was your prediction?
That was my prediction, and no, it does not. I think is valiant of an effort, as we saw from Giannis. And you could even account for the idea of Jrue Holiday coming to play a little bit better. You can imagine Chris Middleton being a little bit more efficient. But it boils down to just how healthy the Suns are, and it just boils down to just how well they play defensively as well. I just think that the Suns have that edge in those two regards specifically, and it pushes them over. There's not a huge talent gap, but those two things end up swaying a series like this.
And they might, and I'm with you. I've been on the Suns since the start of this. I think they just had more pieces together, continuity in a series where talent is not a huge gap one way or another, ends up being the difference. But PJ Carlesimo, our ESPN NBA analyst, says that he believes the Bucks should be encouraged by some of what they saw last night.
If I'm Milwaukee, honestly, I'm encouraged. Game one in the finals is always a feeling out game. You have two teams that don't know each other quite as well. First three rounds of the playoff, you're playing somebody from your own conference. In a normal year, you played them four times. This year, they played each other three times. But over the years, you've played this team a ton of times. You know them very well. These two teams don't know each other very well, and that's what the first game is often about. So now it's going to be to the adjustments, what's going to happen. The Bucks cannot shoot the ball the way they did in the paint. They had so many opportunities in the paint. They couldn't finish. They didn't get second-chance points, which they're about the best in the whole league in doing it. And Drew Holiday had, by his standards, a nightmare game. He's going to play a lot better going forward.
Chenangle Jr. here on ESPN Radio. I think PJ's right in that sense. Mm-hmm. I said Suns in seven because I believe when Giannis came back, at some point, that was going to swing things. That was going to be worth something, but I thought the transition, whenever they inserted him back into the lineup, was going to cost them at least a game in the series, and that was going to be the difference. I didn't anticipate that being game one. Giannis put this ahead of schedule. So I think the Bucks should feel good about it. I think the Bucks win game two. I think the Bucks go into Phoenix and they start the series. We know the series doesn't start till a road team wins the game. Yes. You know, yada yada yada. I think the Bucks win game two because the more I think about what we saw in that game, I do see what PJ was talking about there. That was a team with a lot of point blank misses on putbacks with those big bodies in there that were getting abused defensively, but on the offensive glass seemed in position to do what we'd expect them to do. There was a free throw disparity here that indicated that this team with Giannis coming back into the lineup wasn't sure how to be aggressive in the same ways. The guys who had into the balls, Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, those guys seem to be a little bit different than the ones we left in Game 5 and Game 6 from last series. And so I think after one game, now that we've seen, all right, Giannis is good to go, we all got to bring that now. He's good. And you know how difficult that is. Any team you're playing on that's got a star player. I was a freaking role player my whole career. So I looked at Zach Martin on our line, and I said, all right, if I know that guy is good, we can slide protection this way. We can operate a certain way because we know he's going to hold it down. Zach Martin had a high ankle sprain when we played USC the last game of our regular season. And so heading into the national championship game, that time we've got to prepare there, you're wondering and you're looking out every day, all right, how's Zach doing? How's he coming along here? Because I need to know, all right, if I can rely on that guy in the normal ways, then I can start worrying about just going about my business. I don't got to play outside of myself because, quite frankly, that is not the best version of my game. And for the rest of this Milwaukee Bucks team now, they saw from Giannis what they needed to. Confidence in his physical ability, so now the rest of them can go out and execute the way they need to.
And I can understand that mentality when they get back home sort of taking over. I just don't know if these first two games, with how ramped up Phoenix is, and just the rest, frankly, that they've had, like as compared to what Giannis and the Bucks had to go through just to get to the finals. I think that for these first two home games for the Suns, it feels like that is written out to be a 2-0 series lead from then. We get to bag on Bud once again about how he ain't making no adjustments, and now he down 0-2, and then they'll get back to the crib. You'll get a better performance offensively from Drew Holiday. Chris Middleton will be more efficient, and who knows, we might have a Pat Connaughton sighting, and he rains from threes, or Bryn Forbes, who has been a streaky shooter for them. That comes into play, and that's what I eventually see swaying the series back into balance, and that's how it gets extended for me. Not necessarily on the road right out the gate, just based off the strength of Giannis's miraculous, frankly, recovery.
They would say that is an appropriate word given what we saw, and again, not just the fact that he got back out there, but what he did in those 35 minutes when he was out there. But you mentioned all these different things that the Bucks can do. What will they do to try and change the tide in game two? We'll ask Mark Spears, who joins us next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
8729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. The best heels in sports. In honor of Hulk Hogan, 25 years ago today, turning heel, going to join NWO, and the rest, they say, was history. Chenea Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales, filling in for Chenea Igwumike today. You guys can normally catch him co-hosting Sports Nation right here on ESPN Plus, where you can watch us too. So
yeah,
make sure you check it.
Stick around for the party. Yeah.
It's a good time. I'm not going to lie, part of the reason that I like ride for it so hard is they sent us hats.
With the name on it.
Like I say, I got my name on the side of this hat. Like, listen, anyone who knows me knows if you send me some free stuff,
I'm going
to wear it and talk about it. Like, I am that easy. I am like, because Trev, with so much of this name, image, and likeness conversation going around in college sports, I'm reminded of back when none of that was happening when we were in college.
Right.
It was the way they would pacify us was the issue gear, right? Like, you get the issue gear and you'd feel like the richest man in the world. I'd walk out of there like, man, none of y'all could get this at the bookstore.
Correct.
I'm killing it
right
now.
This exclusive. This exclusive gear that you ain't never going to get your hands on. And like, there was a certain amount of pride about it, but I ain't going to lie to you, right? Like, so I play ball at Harvard, and they tried to send us a bill for some of that stuff sometimes, and I was like, y'all must be out your mind.
I can say, you're going to hit me enough for money after school.
Correct.
I don't need this from you right now.
It immediately got tossed. I went, no, not hearing that.
Say, that is a heel turn in its own way. 888-8-ESPN, the biggest heels in sports. We will get to that coming up in about 10 minutes. But right now, as we look back on game one of the NBA Finals and try and figure out what adjustments the Bucks can make heading into game two, we go to the Goodyear hotline now to talk to Mark J. Spears, senior NBA writer at The Undefeated, kind enough to give us some time on the Goodyear hotline. Mark, how you doing?
Well, first of all, probably the worst gear I got when I was in college, when I was redshirting at San Jose State, they gave us, they were sponsored by LA Gear.
Oh, wow.
And
everybody, all the other schools had Nike and Adidas and Reebok. We had LA Gear.
I'd have been hot. I would have been all kinds of tight at the idea of you suiting me up in that.
Well, that's like the Dan Orlovsky UConn Aeropostale sponsorship that they had for the jerseys, right? Like, Mark, he might have you beat on that one.
I don't even know what that is.
Exactly.
Perfect.
I can say that is a point. That is a point for you guys. That is a winner for the guys.
But when I was in junior college at Foothill College, we were guinea pigs for a power bar. We used to get boxes and boxes and boxes of Power Bar before they really were mainstream. I don't even know if they sell Power Bar no more. I had enough of the loved the chocolate one, hated the oat one.
You say, there you go, official review right there. And by the way, for what it's worth, I'm 100% with you on those. The chocolate ones, absolutely banged. So great taste abounding from Mark
Peanut
Spears
butter.
As usual. Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yes.
Also solid. Yes.
Oh. Put them together a little bit, kind of get nasty with it. See, now we're cooking with gas over here, guys. All right, now that we got them nice and warmed up talking about power bars here, let's unleash Mark on the NBA for what we saw in Game 1. And, Mark, the Suns get the win on their home floor in Game 1, which shouldn't be all that surprising, but how surprised were you at just how spry Giannis looked coming off that knee injury?
Stunned. Especially considering he thought it was a season-ending injury. And he had one dunk. I'm like, I guess his knee's okay. he was moving very well. I think the fact that when you started hearing that he would have played in the game 7 against Atlanta, that, you know, he was close, you know. So kudos to their training staff for getting him ready. And I also think in some way, shape, or form, too, that slow motion also makes it look a lot worse than it probably is in the long run. It is a gruesome injury. I've had my share of the injury, so I get it. But, he certainly was much better than I expected him to be. I expected him to move more like Trae Young did in his last game than Giannis was able to.
There was certainly an amount of gusto that was unexpected from one Giannis Antetokounmpo. So that's one storyline, but another one is obviously the legacy, right? That L word that gets attached to Chris Paul specifically. And when it comes to just diving into how he has helped this team, what is it about, you know, beyond just the X's and O's, but his ability to get into the ears of his teammates and also them receiving his coaching that helps propel this Suns team to their maximal capabilities on a nightly basis?
Yeah. I think one thing that Monty started before Chris even got there, and that's Monty Williams, is don't listen to the way I say it, listen to what I'm saying to you. And so when Chris got there, it probably was even on a higher level. But, you know, to me, I think at this point in his career, Chris is better with a younger team than an older team, right? Because they're willing to listen to his genius rather than think they know everything. So, you know, You knew where DeAndre Ayton was a year ago. He's still trying to figure out. But Chris basically told him during camp, if we're going to do anything special, you got to be great. So he brings you down and brings you up. Like he challenges you to be the best of you. And so when Ayton hears that, no one's ever told him that. Like, for us to be great, you have to be great. So he puts pressure on his teammates in a positive way and brings the most out of them, and is honest to a fault. Maybe they don't like what they want to hear, and I'm sure there's more fights behind the scenes, and maybe when a Suns documentary comes out, there'll be more to this story, but there's no way that they're playing on this level if Chris Paul isn't there.
Chenangle Jr. talking to Mark Spears from The Undefeated, our senior NBA writer. And you mentioned pressure. A lot of it tends to fall from Milwaukee on Coach Bud. Mike Budenholzer, who's been scrutinized a lot this postseason. When you looked at Game 1, how much did you put on Coach Bud and his adjustments defensively versus just the execution from Milwaukee on that end?
You know, that's a good question because it seemed like first half we're like, oh, man, this is going to be a great series. And it still will probably be. Then the second half was just different. So the one question I have is, I think game two will tell us more. I do wonder if this team was tired. I was very confused about how after they, you know, played Saturday night in Atlanta, that they flew back to Milwaukee and then went to Phoenix. I didn't understand why they didn't just, unless it's just to get Giannis some more, you know, physical help back in Milwaukee and some place they got or something. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they have the same machines in Phoenix, but I just wondered if they were a little fatigued in the second half. They looked tired. Whereas Phoenix been off for about, a week or so, you know? So I think in game two, we could probably scrutinize it a lot more, but I'm going to give them a pass because of the short layoff and them traveling around.
Where then do we look at with the defensive scheme specifically, right? Like where Drew Holiday finds himself in the role, whether it's switching on the pick and roll, whether or not Bud chooses to play the drop coverage or whatever have you, like how then are we going to assess that going forward?
You know, it's interesting. Former Cavs assistant coach, and now she's back in the college ranks, USC. Southern Cal's new women's basketball coach, Lindsay Gottlieb, she said that Chris Paul is unguardable on pick and rolls. he's just unguardable, and whatever you do, he counters it. But what I do expect the Bucks to do is be more physical with him, put more bodies on him. But there's danger in that. You do that, maybe that's alley-oop to Ayton, and maybe that's a open Booker. But, you know, Chris started off slow and then exploded in the second half, right? Basically sparked the blowout. And so that when you got a defender who a lot of people may argue may be the best on-ball defender in the league, well, Klay Thompson might have something to say about that when he's healthy. When you have a guy like P.J. Tucker, for Chris Paul to explode like that certainly wasn't expected. And they have to be much better than that, especially with the defensive talent that they have.
And I think we'd expect to see that, like you said, whether it is rest, extra rest necessary, the adjustments from game one to two. I would be shocked if we don't get a much different Bucks approach heading into Thursday's game. Follow him on Twitter at Mark J. Spears. You can read him on The Undefeated, our great senior NBA writer. Mark, we appreciate the time, man. Go enjoy a power bar. It's on us.
Yeah. Send me a peanut butter one, man. Those are the best ones.
There we go. Like I say, we got to take care of him here. Mark J. Spears, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And back then, you could get power bars there. Now you can get a deal with Power Bar if you were a young Mark J. Spears sitting in a locker room on campus somewhere right now. So how much has name, image, likeness already changed the way that we're going to approach this upcoming fall and that we're going to approach something that used to be taboo, pay for play? We'll get to that next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales here. Trevor, former collegiate running back at Harvard, and I'm sure you've been asked every which way since name NIL came to be about what, you know, you would have gone after, what you think you would have paired well in. And yesterday here on Chenangle Jr., Katie George was filling in, our great, you know, reporter and host from ACC Network, former collegiate volleyball player herself.
Absolutely.
And she said when her and Peter Burns were talking about it this weekend, my immediate answer was something food related. And they're like, well, we went non-food items because that's kind of the low-hanging fruit. And I said, first off, how dare you?
The audacity to just knock off. What?
I was gonna say,
are you above? Like,
yeah. I'm sorry. Is that not where we all want to go here? Like,
because that's all I had in my mind. You just
teed it up right there.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, and I'm glad to see I have a like-minded individual who thought of that.
I immediately went to, like, a couple of the wing spots back at the crib that, like, I was always a fan of. Like, yeah, sign me up. I'll endorse whatever you need, dog. Like, yeah.
It took me so long to, like, think of something outside of just eating, because for anyone that missed it, since July 1st, we've been living in the new world of college sports where college athletes can do things like this. And the reason I bring it up is because, man, I think I was just born at the wrong time, because I looked up today and I saw, according, I think this was from Pro Football Focus's college account, that all 17 offensive linemen at Notre Dame are now sponsored by Mission Barbecue.
And my condolences, just on the standpoint of missing out just barely on that. But I am sure, as a well-respected alum, you could probably pull up, just say, hey, can I at least get one or two free plates with a couple of sides? I'm sure they'll hook it up for you.
You know what? And it's at this point, it honestly just brings a tear to my eye for the boys. I'm so proud of them for going out here as a unit here. I mean, we talk so much, these group of guys. I always said offensive linemen, man, God love us. Personality, you are shaped so much by the position. Like, you have got to be witty, funny, and trade in movie quotes, because you're fat and you don't smell good and no one else is going to want to hang out with you otherwise there. And so that's why you see everyone sprinting to the finish line post-career to lose this weight, because it's like, man, if I time this right, I have all the other skills to actually make me really attractive and I don't have to be fat as hell anymore for work.
Yeah, no, that is your prime. The moment you no longer have to carry the weight, that is the prime opportunity to go out, find a mate, whatever you want to do with this newfound, like, sort of, I don't know how to call it. I don't know how to pose it.
It does make sense, because right, we are glorified livestock at that point. Like, so.
We know what it is at that point. So, yeah, no, I think that's the prime opportunity.
Like, and so this is a prime opportunity. Like, this is great business on both sides. And we've seen some group things like this for NIL. But, Trev, we know it goes further than that. We know for so many people that were opponents of name, image, and likeness, to start, it came to a different idea. This idea of championships being bought. This idea of us closing in on pay for play. And so we want to break that down for you here. It's Janae Angola Jr. talking about college athletics. That can only mean one thing. Let's do it in one and done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
One and Done's brought to you by Napa. Whether it's next day delivery or getting involved in their local communities, Napa goes above and beyond to serve you, because their motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. And Trev, we saw big news in name, image, and likeness yesterday. The Miami football team, all 90 scholarship players were offered $500 a month to promote a local gym in that area. That local gym owner, Miami Booster, a guy who loves the program, decided, I'm going to start a corporation that's going to be called Bring Back the U. I'm going to have fundraisers. I'm going to get together other prominent alumni to donate money to businesses around there to get to the football players on this team, to show them, hey, when you come here, this is how we're going to love you up. All 90 scholarship players. Today, we got news about Oregon Ducks defensive end Kayvon Thibodeau, I believe it was yesterday, announcing that he had collaborated with Phil Knight and Tinker Hatfield from Nike, two very prominent names in the sneaker game for a long time, on a non-fungible token, one of those digital trading cards, for a guy that could be a top five draft pick this upcoming spring. All of this, Trev, seems like it's starting to get up to that line. Does this start to feel like we're inching closer to something that can resemble pay for play right now?
Oh, no doubt. It's just a matter of who is going to end up cutting the check, like, eventually. Because, again, we're finding these tangential way to get money into the pockets of individuals. As you mentioned with Kayvon, right? It's Tinker Hatfield and Phil Knight are going to fund something that he can then make money off of. The moment we cut out that middleman, and it's going to look more and more apparent that we will need to cut out the middleman, because it might get a little shicey, it might get a little, like, shady in some ways, but even more so, it's going to be seen as deserved, because it's going to see you're going to be faced with this value that each and every one of these individual players holds, and it's going to just sort of drop the wall on the idea that these individuals don't have worth, that they don't put in labor that should be recuperated in some way. Like, that is what's going to end up falling.
That was the next step for me with what happened with Kayvon, because the Miami situation was a nice billboard for,
yeah,
we're willing to get creative,
right,
with showing you how much we care.
Right.
But it treated everybody as the same, the first to the 90th man on that scholarship roster here. And we know that's not the case. Like, De'Aaron King was out securing the bag the first day in a way that a lot of his teammates weren't. And so this, to me, was the next step. Because you're right, there are going to be some parts of this. I think the problems that come with name, image, and likeness are going to be on the back end if players are taken advantage of while things are happening quickly right now. Because $500 a month sounds really good when you've had nothing before. But for a lot of these guys, their posts are probably worth more than that, depending on what their following is, depending on what their performance is. That, to me, is going to be the next step, is how creative do these institutions get? Because don't get me wrong, this is timed purposely right now. We just got through a June where college athletes were allowed to come back on, specifically for football, on campus as recruits for the first time in a year. College coaches are exhausted coming off this month hosting players for official visits in the month of June. And so what do you get after you just hosted all those players? If you're Miami, if you're Oregon, if you're whatever the next team, because I'm sure we're not done with these kind of announcements of prominent alumni with money and status showing how involved they're willing to be in and around the program in the ways they have been before, but now in this new way through dollars and cents. It's a great time to recruit and say, hey, while you're making this decision, think about all the ways we can take care of you.
Yeah, like if
that's not going to stop.
Yeah, if you come in, set this campus ablaze, if you show your worth immediately, right? Like, there is cash to be made just for you and yourself, like, just off the strength of, again, putting on the uniform, as you've seen with a lot of these the institutions sort of getting a carte blanche for position groups or rosters at large. And I wonder, I don't feel as though it's going to sway the balance by any stretch of the imagination from our typical powerhouses. But it does help the likes of a Nebraska, who is in Podunk Town State, middle of America, that doesn't have anything professionally going on. And there are established businesses that are looking to endorse somebody to get somebody in front of their building to say, hey, come eat here or come shop here. And they now have the liberty to go out and assign a little bit of a dollar value to these players that have been a long commodity that have just been underutilized, at least over the table.
And think about just even the example that you went to on that, Nebraska. It's never been a place that's hurt for funds or resources.
Correct.
Like, this isn't new money coming into the equation. This is a redistribution of wealth from pouring it into facilities and all these things around. Because remember, when you look at the NFL, like, you see all these new buildings now because teams are trying to get Super Bowls, because teams are trying to get the draft to come there. And so facilities are getting upgraded. When we were coming out, when I was coming out in the draft in 2013, what you heard from a lot of guys in the league was, yeah, they don't have to have these nice facilities because they got money to give you. They're not here recruiting you with all the stuff around here. Now they can give it more straight to you. And what that should show everyone here, because the names aren't going to change the teams that are powerful enough to be able to do this. And I'd imagine it's not going to affect the bottom line for many athletic departments because the money's not coming from there, is hopefully this concept is a lot less scary to people, right? Like, it's the same boosters that were already supporting these programs. Phil Knight's been there cutting checks for Oregon for years now at this point. The guy funding that gym in Miami is a booster. The reason he can get away with this is because of clever accounting. All of this looks like the thing people were so scared of, and I think they're slowly going to start to realize that outside of a bunch of young black athletes now having money that wasn't theirs before, there's really not a lot of difference in the way that this is power structure-wise around the sports.
Normalization and destigmatization. That's what we're looking at here, and it's only going to work in the benefit of those young black athletes that you just spoke about.
I can say that's really what's at the core of this, right, is starting to get it to the people that have been shouldering the load of these athletic departments. And again, that's the best part. If you are an athletic department who's been so afraid of the NCAA's amateurism model being broken into pieces by the Supreme Court, is you're kind of getting to it now. I am amazed to see how creative some of these alumni get very soon, because we are not done with headlines like what we've seen at Miami, like what we saw with Oregon's defensive end Kayvon Thibodeau signing that NFT deal with Phil Knight and Tinker Hatfield. But coming up next, boy oh boy, do I have a headline that is going to make every white sports writer in America weep with joy. We will get to that next here on Chenango Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chenango Jr., the podcast.
Chenea and Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Our thanks to Trevor Scales filling in for Chenea Gwumike today.
Yeah. Happy to be here as always, man. It's a good time. It's
you guys,
a good time.
You guys can usually catch Trev co-hosting Sports Nation alongside Ashley Brewer, Taylor Twellman, and a host of other folks, including me from time to time.
Yes, that's the best part of the party, when you get to get involved. You know what I mean? Like, that's when we really get to shine.
I do feel a little bit slighted because as we've been around here enjoying the Euros all over on ESPN, European soccer, taking the nation by storm here right now, so many folks, including Taylor, doing an awesome job covering it around here. You guys over on Sports Nation have had your big board of teams that everyone picked through the Euros. And I saw the last time I was in there, they had an entire big board. Trevor Scales still in it right now, isn't it?
Yep, in it. Not by
Yeah, not,
them,
not through
yes.
England. Yeah,
right.
It's coming home, etc. But not for Trevor in this case. The thing that I was looking up at the board and I noticed all these people that were, you know, friends of the program there that got to pick teams and all this, and my face wasn't up there. And so I was just wondering, you know, what I did and to who to make this happen.
I was not at the initial picking of teams. When it first went down, I was not there. Uh-huh. So I want to at least absolve myself from any responsibility. But I do believe that you should be on that board somewhere. And I'm not entirely sure why you weren't, because I think you would have had some wonderful input. Hell, I went with Italy because of carbs. And I imagine that you would have had some very sound reasoning as to why you would go with whatever. If you could, I'm not even going to, you know, check you on the idea of picking a winner on the back end, but if you could, who would you go with for that Euros championship then?
At this point, England.
Right?
Yeah, no, would feel pretty good about that one here. Not because of carbs or anything, but because they're already in the final.
Fair enough.
Yeah, no, get how you live on that one.
Yes.
Big props to your choice on Italy there for the carbs. Have sampled some, 10 out of 10. Would recommend.
Fantastic.
Even though I have been left out of that one, we are still thankful Trev comes and hangs out with us here occasionally over on the radio. We're also thankful to Mark J. Spears for stopping by, helping us out with some great analysis. Our ESPN writer over the NBA, you can check him out at theundefeated.com here. But even though I was not involved in the Euros, even though that was a little bit of pressing note for me here as I watched the boys in England get it home to the finals here, we're still excited to have Trevor around. We're still excited to finish this show out. Let's keep that same energy. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Jhené and Golic Jr.
Keeping that same energy, Trev. I don't know what it is. White sports writers love Bruce Springsteen. Like, just calling it what it is. They're just enamored with this guy. And Bruce is, like, great. Like, yeah. I enjoy some of his songs. It's not like that. But, like, it's a different level of worship over on that side.
It's very different. I was introduced to it by. Hey.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've got something to celebrate today. Because in the 2021 Olympics, daughter of Bruce Springsteen, Jessica Springsteen, has just made the U.S. equestrian team. She will try and go over there and get some hardware in the 2021 games in Tokyo riding these horses.
There is nothing more of a textbook example of my family is rich.
Yeah.
And you being able to go over there and compete in equestria, dog. Like, I could not have picked a richer sport to go about there and get your medal.
This is how little I know about equestria. I'm just going to read you some of her accolades,
please,
what she recently
please.
Won. I have no idea what this means. Recently, Springsteen won the 2021 WEF $37,000 Captive One Advisors 1.5M Classic CS14 with a star on it. I'm sure that's great.
I just don't know
anything about equestrian. But congratulations to her. That's an awesome accomplishment. I'd have to imagine growing up with your dad being Bruce Springsteen means that accomplishment is a very hard thing to feel like you're living up to. So very cool for her to be accomplishing in an area that is all her
own. That's exactly the way they do it, right? Like, no one's ever going to claim equestrian. Just step completely outside of the box of anything that has to do with art.
Yes, exactly. So way to zig when everyone else zags. Keeping that same energy here. Got to pour one out here because the XFL and the CFL have decided to end talks on a formal partnership here. The XFL announced this on Wednesday that it's going to plan its relaunch for the 2023 season after talks with the CFL were ultimately tabled here. They both said in separate statements that the decision was jointly reached between the two leagues. So,
yeah, right. Like,
it seemed cool at the time. We were all hopped up on hope when this announcement came out here. This is probably cooler heads prevailing for the CFL that's got a pretty long-standing identity.
Right, the volatility of the XFL as they have come back and gone away a couple times now. Like, I don't know if it's necessarily ideal to attach yourself to them at least the year after a pandemic in which money was funny to begin with.
Exactly. Not to say that we don't trust the backing of
Dwayne
The Rock Johnson,
no
because
doubt.
Lord knows he's got a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
But that didn't stop it for Vince McMahon not too long ago. So I'm not saying, I'm just saying. Keeping that same energy before we go, Trev, Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight. The Lightning have a chance to somehow retroactively make their mayor, Jane Castor, right after she said, I hope they, you know, give the Canadians a dub up there so they can come back home and celebrate. Good news on that front. The Lightning have not lost consecutive games over the last two postseasons. They are 14-0 following a loss.
I respect that idea that they could make good on the promise of the mayor, but I also love the fact that there's a whole salary cap controversy surrounding that team and the idea that they signed somebody after the fact and are like 18 mil above it and are still just going to go out here and win the Stanley Cup. It's fine.
Don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain. Just focus on the puck coming up tonight. Stick around here on ESPN Radio. Spain and Fitz are what you should focus on next.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.